Welcome to Kerners and Coffee Shops, everyone. My name is Heather. Today I have Sam Johnson here to talk about his latest release as well as his experience transitioning from post-hardcore to singer-songwriter. Sam, we would love to hear a little bit first about how you got started in music.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I've been playing music for seems like my whole life. My parents gave me my first guitar when I was maybe 5 years old. Took a few music lessons. I wish I'd kind of stuck with it, but decided to bow out after a couple years. Yeah, then in middle school, I met up with some friends who had similar musical interests, and we started kind of like a pop punk band. We were all really obsessed with Green Day and stuff like that. And yeah, I continued playing throughout high school, and then I formed the band Choke Up that I am currently in. Man, it's been something like 12 or so years that we've been playing together. And I love those guys. I play with three of my best friends. We're kind of like a punk post-hardcore band in Boston. And we've gone on tours together. We've recorded a handful of albums together. And yeah, now I'm just kind of striking out on my own, trying the whole solo thing out, you know, transitioning from punk rock to the more subdued singer-songwriter feel.
Yeah, and kind of staying along the topic of your solo work, you actually just released your debut solo album, Along the Dark Edges of Everything, and we are in love with it. And, you know, listening to Choke Up and then your solo stuff, drastic difference, but, you know, change sure. is always good in life. For those who haven't had a chance to kind of take a listen to it yet, what should listeners expect to hear lyrically and instrumentally?
Yeah. So lyrically, this album, it wrestles with some tough themes, you know, things like regret, mental health. But a lot of it is peppered with moments of levity, moments of appreciation and gratitude for everything from a quiet morning to the love of a supportive spouse. I think when I'm working through some of these issues in real life, I try to be cognizant of the good, cognizant of the beautiful, and finding that balance in music has always been important to me. Not every song has to end on a high note. Not every song needs to be squeezed into this mold. But when you're tackling some heavy themes, I think it's important to try to recognize the bright spots, not in a naive or toxic positive way, just, you know, in a way that mirrors real life. Instrumentally, this album has allowed me to really celebrate my love for folk, Americana, alt country. Like I said, I spent over 10 years playing in a punk / post-hardcore band, and I totally love that music, the urgency of it, the energy, but I have always had an affinity for rootsy singer-songwriter music, music that dials back the bluster in favor of something a bit more intimate and three-dimensional. And so specifically, I was listening to Steve Earle when I wrote this album, you know, the godfather of alt country. I was listening to a lot of old 97s, Jason Isbell, Lydia Lovelace, Uncle Tupelo, Lucinda Williams. So I was definitely inspired by both modern and classic voices in the Americana space.
Yeah, and I do love that you mentioned that, like, you know, your goal was to have these topics that people are always uncomfortable with speaking about, even though it's a daily part of life for a lot of people, and making sure that there is that bright spot, because that's how life is. And we're very fortunate to have artists like you that are willing to put out realistic expectations on what we have to go through in this crazy world of life, you know?
Absolutely. And I think when I was younger and a bit more emotionally volatile.
I want that on a shirt, emotionally volatile.
Yeah, right. I think that kind of translated to my songwriting, and things were a bit more stark. Things were a bit more brutal. But as I've gotten older, I've tried to not dwell on things as much as I have before and yeah, like I said, try to pepper in those bright spots, you know, not force them in, but recognize when they're there.
Absolutely. And which song would you say was your favorite to write and or record?
Yeah, that's a great question. The one that immediately comes to mind is the song Black Sheep Wine. So with the lion's share of my songwriting, you know, it doesn't come quickly for me. It doesn't come easily. I always get super jealous of artists who, you know, they wrote their best song in 15 minutes or something like that. That never happens for me. It's always a long process, a rewarding process, but it takes a lot of time for me. The one exception to that is the song Black Sheep Wine. And I wrote that one evening after I came home from the liquor store. I had picked up a bottle of wine that my wife and I were going to split. But by the time I got back to our apartment, she was already asleep. So I kind of just sat at the kitchen table with my acoustic guitar, and I opened this bottle of wine, and I wrote the song called Black Sheep Wine that is entirely about my wife and our relationship. And that one poured out of me in less than an hour. All the other songs I've written have taken infinitely longer than that. So that one is certainly one of my favorites. And recording it was really a joy for me as well, because when I first went into the studio, I kind of just imagined that the song would be acoustic guitar, vocals, and a harmonica. But as we started tracking, it was very on the spot where my engineer and I forget which one of us had the idea, but we were like, you know, what if we threw an electric guitar in here? What if we did like a lead? So I pulled out the electric, and in a matter of like maybe 5 minutes, came up with this lead that is now a huge part of the song and one of my favorite moments on the record. So yeah, Black Sheep Wine, that is definitely up there for me. Probably my favorite one.
Awesome. And I mean, yeah. You had great inspiration, obviously.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yes, that's important.
Yep. Shout out. So kind of going into your experience with Choke Up, how would you say that your musical experiences have differed between working in a group setting and working mm-hmm. in a solo setting, you know, apart from the obvious of like, hey, you have more people and now I'm on the
right. Right. Yes. Definitely some big differences. The initial songwriting process was actually fairly similar. So when I'm writing songs for Choke Up, I typically start with an acoustic guitar by myself and I create a general outline for a song. And then it really comes to life once I bring it to the band and we add to it and refine it. With these solo songs, it started the same way, you know, with an acoustic guitar. But since I knew I wouldn't be leaning on the band, I definitely added some depth to the guitar playing that otherwise probably wouldn't have been there. You know, more intricate finger picking, chord changes, things like that. And as I was mentioning a minute ago, when I first got into the studio and started tracking, I expected most of these songs to be acoustic guitar, vocals, maybe a harmonica, not much else. But as my engineer and I spent more time with the songs, we kind of organically decided to fill them out with drums, bass, electric guitar. There's some organ, piano, there's a little bit of banjo. And I can play these songs alone on stage and be totally happy with that sparse arrangement. But being in the studio felt like an opportunity to explore the limits of the songs and turn up the overdrive during an emotional moment or dial in the bass when we really want to anchor a section. It was really exciting because there were no expectations. We had the freedom to just see what sounded good, see what felt good. And if it made the song better, we would keep it. If it didn't really add value, we would nix it. So it was both exciting and a little intimidating because there were just like so many directions that we could choose to explore. But as far as the actual release of this album, that was quite different from what I'm used to with the band. Getting it out into the world, most of that credit goes to my friend Harley Cox, who is also the drummer of Choke Up. Without his help, these songs could still very well be sitting in a Dropbox folder on my computer. For me, the process of writing and recording has always been the reward. So motivating myself to go beyond that step has always been challenging. Harley listened to the songs and felt that they deserved to be heard by a wider audience. So he shot the album to some labels. He ultimately decided to release it through his own label. And then he reached out to folks who helped us with a couple music videos. He connected me with Kevin from Part-Time PR, who helped us orchestrate a campaign for the album release. So while this is technically a solo record, Harley has played a crucial part in just about every aspect of it, and is really the main reason why these songs can be heard by anyone who wants to hear them.
Yay! Shout out to Harley!
Yes. Thanks, yay. Harley.
If you could give your younger self any advice in regards to what you've experienced within music or within life in general, what advice would you give him?
I would love to tell my younger self to keep it simple. I mean, from a songwriting perspective, I think a lot of my early stuff was overly complex and complicated simply for the sake of being complicated. I wanted so badly when I was younger to buck traditional songwriting trends. And so I think with that mentality, I kind of overcorrected quite a bit. Sometimes the results were cool, but other times I think the songs could have benefited from the more straightforward approach.
Oh man, that feels like the story of my life.
Right.
I feel your pain. What do you hope that your audience will take away from your music?
You know, obviously it would be wonderful if people could relate to some of these songs or even find comfort in them, similar to how I found comfort in writing them. But honestly, if someone simply nods along to a song or finds themselves humming a chorus in the shower, whatever, that is reward enough for me. There doesn't need to be some grand connection, but if these songs can be a little bright spot in someone's day, I would be happy.
Yay! I think you're going to accomplish that. I mean, me personally, I find comfort in sad things that destroy my soul.
So yes, same here. Love sad songs so much.
The more I cry, the better I feel after.
Exactly. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. And apart from, you know, the recent release of the album, what other big exciting things should we be expecting from you?
Yeah. So next up, we are releasing a music video for the song Bad World. The whole thing was filmed in this wide open field, and you can pretty much see me getting a sunburn in real time. So that's up next. And then after that, we are playing a record release show in Boston with some of my dear friends, Eggy Benedict and the band Oppressors. And that's going to be November 12th at a place called O'Brien's. I've got enough material to get started on LP2, but I think the plan is to just ride this album for a while, play some shows, and just keep it simple.
Yeah, and you absolutely can't rush art and, you know, take the time to enjoy the release, you know?
Yes. It has been a really long time coming. I want to savor this moment for as long as I can.
Yes, absolutely. And where can everybody find you online?
So you can find me at samjohnsonmusic.net. You can also find me on Spotify, Apple Music, all those streaming platforms. You can find me there.
Awesome. And to get into our coffee shop appreciation portion here at Crooners and Coffee Shops, we love our coffee. I wanted to shout out kind of like a local chain. It's called Earth Cafe, specifically the Santa Monica location. They make really good lattes. They had like a honey vanilla one, and that was amazing. Perfect for fall. So shout out to Santa Monica's Earth Cafe. Sam, do you have anywhere in Boston that you would like to shout out?
Oh, man. So I lived in Cambridge for a long time. Recently moved out of the city. But when I was living in Cambridge, my favorite spot was 1369 Coffee House. It was steps away from my apartment. They're always just a bright spot in my day. So shout out to 1369.
It's always convenient when it's, you know, right there. It's like, hey, exactly. Good morning. Awesome. Well, Sam, it was great to have you on here. I hope that you get to enjoy the rest of your release and also the lovely fall weather.
Yes, yes, definitely appreciating the crisp fall weather. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Of course. And to our listeners, stay safe out there, everyone, and stay caffeinated.